Welcome to the AI. Spreading the podcast for Lucy and Andrew. Welcome to the AI Readiness Podcast with Lucy and Andrew. I'm Andrew, that's Lucy, and Rich is our producer. Rich.
Hello, everybody.
Could you're here to keep us on track, but also could you do us a favour? If we get lost in technical language or if we lose our way with whimsy, can you just keep us on track?
Yeah, I'll make sure I check in and let you know.
To shout out bananas.
Brilliant.
Bananas.
So welcome then to the AI Readiness Podcast. Lucy, who exactly are you and what are your credentials to be talking about this stuff?
What, you want to know my background, my career, where I've been working, that kind of jazz?
Who am you?
Who am you? Right. Well, it's funny, you know, over the 25 years I've been working since university, I actually started my working life for a software company. Came through the dot-com boom, which was all very exciting, and then very rapidly through the dot-com crash. I guess I'm really lucky to have had a huge and wide range of work experience from FMCG, brand marketing management, third sector charity, most kind of the lengthy career element, I guess, was with a global trade show organizer, and I worked my way up to the marketing director and head of strategy. And I think it was during that I developed a huge passion for creating products, and combine that then with my 4 years working with executive teams and people and culture to develop leadership development programs and people and culture and capability kind of strategy, that I've kind of found my place. And when AI came along, I thought I need to be involved in that because I can see how that is going to be a fundamental performance driver.
Yeah, that we experienced that moment at the same time, right? So my background, I was a broadcaster for a bit. Hope the sort of breakfast show cheesiness doesn't come over in this podcast. I sort of secretly hope it does. I'm still an occupational psychologist, and I was quite happily building a boutique consultancy doing leadership team and culture development. And AI crashed into the side of my career just at around about the same time that we started working together. And that's what we're here to do, right? Is we're here to bring our vast and broad experience from loads of different environments into helping organizations to understand not just the technical stuff of AI adoption, but the social and the psychological stuff as well. And we've got that massively in common.
Yeah, and it's the human stuff, the people stuff that I'm most interested in, because I'm a bit of a technologically challenged. So if I can get this, I guess I'm saying to everybody, so can you.
Absolutely. And so what I like about our relationship is you kind of keep me in check. So I go, you know, it's this, it's that and the other. And you're like, can you please explain that in a really straightforward
way? I will say that is just a noise. No one will get it. And it doesn't mean what's the relevance.
Thank you very much. Which brings us on to, you know, so Lucy and I, we are co-founders of Uptake AI. And I thought a fun challenge would be for us to explain our mission without looking at the website. Because we wrote our mission statement like 6 months ago. Like, can we remember it? Or is it the spirit in our hearts that we need to remember?
I think that's more important, because often the mission statement, maybe I'm going to frustrate people now, but the mission statement is a bit just words. You've got to be able to live and breathe it, haven't you?
Absolutely.
So Uptake AI for me is all about supporting organizations with AI adoption, putting people at the core of that, because these are tools that can massively support business growth, but less focus on the productivity and efficiency for me. I like the impact that AI and generative AI brings in terms of allowing us to work on the more strategic stuff, the more fun stuff, and get rid of all of the shite, that bogs us down and that causes things like burnout. And, you know, that's why people leave jobs, is when they feel that I'm not making a difference here and I'm not using my brain.
So we're sort of, we're saying humans first, but we're doing it, right? We're modeling it, right? Because, you know, the people in our Copilot Kickstart program are sort of saying, when I don't have to slow down and do that massive piece of data analysis, my brain feels lighter. So we're sort of, you know, so that person's having a better experience of work, and that's what we're delighted to be helping with. And that's our mission, right? Is to help people have a better experience at work by being more productive, more innovative, more efficient, and just, you know, doing the stuff they really want to do.
Yeah, and it's the innovative bit, I think, is not talked about as much as it should be.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Everyone's on about the productivity increases, but the innovations are eye-watering. And we're going to share some of those things with you as we go through the podcast series. So we should talk about expectations for the podcast. So, you know, the headlines are we're going to demystify AI because we know it's like a fire hydrant gushing all at once all the time and you don't even know what bits of news to read about it. We're going to debunk the myths. We're going to give you actionable advice, and that might be right the way down to granular prompts all the way through to engaging your team, or, you know, how do you have a conversation at the top of house, to use a bit of consulting slang, to get your exec team on board, you know, from the strategic to the granular, we are here for you.
Yeah, I think it's really important that this isn't just a podcast for the sake of a podcast and just talking, you know, blah. It is grassroots, practical. These are the challenges, so that there is, people can feel an element of me too, because we know that that is the case, but then to provide ideas and solutions that, you know, in an ideal world for me, people will listen to our podcast and have one or two light bulb moments of something that they can do, take away and go and do.
We're going to sort of keep you abreast and make you the cool kid at the water cooler, because you'll be able to drop things in like, yeah, prompt engineering is garbage. It needs to be about dialogue with the model. So we'll give you like phrases like that, that you can be the cool kid. But also we're going to do a bit of mucking about and have a laugh doing it, right? That's the important thing. The third most important thing about this podcast.
100%. I think if you don't have humour, you've got nothing.
We should do our breaking news segment, which is going to be a regular benchmark. I'd love to do a cool sound effect here. Let's talk about recent AI developments. Like you're sort of noticing a bit of a shift in the whole AI landscape, right, Lucy?
Always, constantly, and LinkedIn, noises here, noises there, and it kind of filters through and takes 2 weeks, I would say, from the thought leaders and stuff in America, and then all of a sudden, everyone's starting to pick up on the new things.
Absolutely. So the thing that sort of lit up LinkedIn over the last couple of weeks is this thing called Deep Dive, and it's this product called Notebook LM. Basically, it's like a Google product. A bit like a Google Documents sort of thing, you know, you've got to have a Google account and you go in there. You can upload any kind of content you like, and you click a button, and then this Google LM, which I think must be a language model thing, creates what sounds like a podcast, right? It's not as good as us, let's be honest with you. But it sounds like two radio hosts in a sort of NPR, sort of American radio style, doing a deep dive into a topic. And it really is as simple as this, right? You can take the URL or the web address from your website, just drop it into this thing, click a button, come back 10 minutes later, and it will have created a podcast about your website. So it sounds amazing. It's very exciting. We played it in one of our HR immersion sessions that we do with HR teams, and somebody said, "You're taking me into the uncanny valley," because I took their company website, dropped it in there and played it. It's spooky, isn't it? It's really, really spooky. I'm going to play a clip now, which I took from the uptake, you know, from our website. I'll just play you just a few seconds so you get a real flavor of it.
Okay, so you're diving into the world of AI, right? And you want to figure out how to make it actually work with people, not just like, you know, replacing them or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing a deep dive today. We've got some super interesting stuff here from this consultancy. They're all about AI.
Okay.
And they really hit on something that I think gets missed a lot.
What's that?
They're saying just having the tech, it's not magic.
For sure. Just because you've got the shiniest new AI toy doesn't mean it's going to magically boost your bottom line. This consultancy, they're right on the money. When they say companies get so caught up in the hype, they totally forget about the people using this stuff. You know,
yeah.
Like what happens to the team? How do you even talk about these changes? And the skills, right? Big one.
Yeah.
You can't just expect everyone to become AI whisperers overnight.
Mm. It's like human.
It sounds quite spooky, doesn't it?
Look, I really liked it at first and thought this is going to be a game changer. But then it kind of started to grate on me it's only those two voices. It's very Americanized. And my thought kind of process changed. What it did for me was spark the importance of, or the ideas around, how could you repurpose content best to support, to land, to for whether it's your customers, your clients, your internal people. It gave me that an idea, which I'd never thought about, you know, making a little mini podcast to communicate with your team, because previously we would have obviously thought that was far too much work involved. So, I'm not a fan of everyone jumping on the bandwagon. And if that is then all we're going to be hearing on LinkedIn, then it's I'll stick something in my eye.
What would you stick in your eye? I'm just curious about that.
Just a pen.
So I've got the same take as you, right? So, and this is what you'll always get from us, dear listener. Like, you know, we're not just going to share the news. We'll give you our take, because we're doing this all the time, every day. So we're hopefully our take is going to be useful to you. And so I'm with Lucy on this. If you know, so I'm an ex-broadcaster, and I looked at that thing and I was like, brilliant, you could create broadcast quality content, share it with thousands. But then what happens if everybody does that? Then the internet gets flooded with this exact same sounding podcast that everybody knows is AI generated. And it's subscribing to the model, which I hear a lot, which is garbage in, garbage out. We don't want garbage in, garbage out. But if you're at a planning application meeting for your local village and you want to make the minutes easily accessible for 20 people who live in your village, then as a micro broadcast, brilliant. So to help people consume information easily, but in a kind of under the radar way where you're not pumping it out publicly, I think it's an amazing tool and it's got really good legs. And we think you think they're going to develop it with different voices.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth keeping an eye on tools like that, because it would be a game changer for me if people could then record their own voices. So it's reading the information from the website, or maybe it's a newsletter, as you said, or maybe it's a summary of a report, or, you know, after perhaps a leadership development program, it's the summary of some of the key takeaways in the relevant tones. It will just be more authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the last thing that I'd say about it is there's an inclusion point, right? You know, so let's say somebody's partially sighted. You can easily send them something easy to consume. Or, you know, if you're an ADHDer like me, so if you send me a document that's more than one page, my eyes actually start bleeding, like literally. I have to mop them with a towel. So I would just love easy to consume stuff.
And don't forget different languages as well. I think, again, it sparks ideas of, could you be using technology like this through your website so people can read different segments in different languages?
Yeah, absolutely. So we love Notebook LM. We love the deep dive, but you know, use it sensibly, folks. I think that's our message, right?
Mm.
Any other news to chuck in the hopper? We should keep it simple, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not going to focus on any other products. There are always something new to talk about but on this one. But the thing that's just made me chuckle is in the last, I would say, 10 days, I've just noticed a shift in LinkedIn posts and comments coming from the States, in theory, ahead of the AI curve, only now talking about the importance or the impact of the likes of generative AI on culture in an organization, and how you can't throw it out there and expect everyone to have picked it right up and be, you know, to be massive super workers straight away. You know, and there's even been some funny adverts and cartoons about Copilot. We've given Copilot to all our people. Why aren't they using it? You know, and I'm like, hello.
It's psychosocial.
We've been talking about this and the importance of a plan to include culture and capability and skills for months and months and months and months.
Exactly, but nobody's been listening. But now they're starting to listen. because we're doing it, because we're running immersion sessions with people and we're helping people to use the tools, we hear the stuff like, I've written something, but I don't want to send it out because it's not authentically me. Yeah. That's a performance inhibitor, right?
But you know why? It's because you throw Copilot out and expect people just automatically understand how to use it, and they're going to be a one prompt person. and say, write me a report on X, go. I call that using AI to cheat, which serves its purpose at times, but none of that piece of work is going to be authentic, is going to be your thinking, is going to be your tone, of course. So you can understand why people would fear that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we strongly recommend, and we are appreciative of the sort of the wave that's coming over from America, which is, yeah, you've got to remember like the human process of adapting and adopting these tools.
Yeah, I mean, it made me chuckle, but it's great because it'll just be more noise, more voice, which just supports, you know, what we advocate for, which is
absolutely
that AI doesn't just sit in the realms of IT. It isn't just about technology. It isn't just about automating and building machines. Let's focus on the impact and our people.
But the strategic lesson is, right, you might be tempted to go, let's just buy 5,000 Copilot licenses, dish them out and see what happens in 6 months' time. You're losing 6 months because if you ain't doing this stuff properly, you're just going to go, oh, why are we buying the licenses? Because nobody's, you know, we're not getting the uptake that we wanted. So, you know, be more proactive, be more on it. You know, be more American, you know, be like the new wave. Conversations in the field. You know, this is a regular feature from our working lives. We thought we'd take some of our client and practice conversations and sort of bring them to you because it will help you to understand what people are really talking about in, you know, HR teams and leadership teams and teams across organizations. So Lucy, you had a nice moment in one of our Copilot Kickstart workshops.
I'm in the field. I really did, and it just resonated with me, and I've actually sent the CEO of it was a financial planning organization that we were working with, who reached out and asked us to support his entire team, who he'd recently gifted a Copilot license, and he wanted to make sure that people were using it correctly, safely, and to their best ability. So they joined our Copilot Kickstart program, and I just absolutely loved how he framed it, how he set it up when he introduced us, and he introduced why the whole team were going to go through this training program. Mm. And this isn't verbatim, but he said along the lines of, look, we want to be using these tools because they have the potential to give us, you know, great efficiency gains. I want us to be more productive. He then said, but this isn't about me cracking the whip.
No.
And I loved that. And I immediately thought, he's right, you know. There may well be a lot of people out there that are thinking, great, you know, they're giving us these tools so I can get more done and they're going to give me more.
Like a sort of ratcheting effect. Thanks for being more productive. Here's 20% more work.
Yeah. And that could be a potential barrier to adoption as well, because you're thinking, I'm not going to do that because I'll do more and I'm only going to get more. And I love the fact that he framed it that way. And he said, this isn't about me cracking the whip. I really want us to be able to have more time to think about how we can be more strategic, come up with some new, great, fun ideas that support our clients. And ultimately, he goes, I want us to have fun with it. I love that.
It was so nice to hear. It was off the cuff as well, you know, because our facilitator just went, hey, Stephen, could you just, you know, set this session up? And it just came out of him. So it was really authentic. And, you know, sort of hearing this story, I kind of think, what if the organization was 10,000 people? And what if that was the CEO of that organization? Just that, you know, where is that stance in the bigger organizations from the CEO in order to get people kind of involved and excited about it? You know, that's missing in a great deal, many of organizations. So it was a little nugget of goodness. And I agree with you on that one.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Please bring more. What was my conversation in the field was from yesterday. So I was working with a housing association, a group of leaders in the people function. And we worked through the, you know, ethics and responsible use framework and an organizational stance, you know, in the same way that your line manager, your leader said that their stance. And we worked through it, and we did a few party tricks, like this is how you use it for recruitment, this is how you use Copilot for drafting an in, you know, all that kind of cool stuff. And then the conversation went to the strategic next steps. So after half a day of really working through the implications of using tools like Copilot and ChatGPT and Perplexity.ai, one of our popular models, inside the people function, the conversation got to, what about outside the people function? You know, what about our 500 employees? What's our take on strategic next steps for them? Can you guess what the number one strategic step was for that HR and people team? Probably won't be very difficult. I mean, have a cup of tea. That's obvious because their brains were absolutely burned out. But like strategically, you guessed it, Lucy. They said, we need to go and talk to IT. We need to go and have a conversation. Because they're sort of going, the IT department sort of going, yeah, you'll have Copilot probably in about sort of 3 or 4 months when we get our ducks in a row.
And because the HR pilots.
Yeah. We'll give you 1.2 licenses to play with and give them to somebody who doesn't care and isn't going to use it. Anyway, it was a bit like that. And so they said, we need to go and talk to IT and say, it's all right to use tools like Perplexity, which is a bit like a sort of posh Google that finds search results for you to do stuff. And sometimes it's okay to use ChatGPT to generate content if you're not putting your IP. You know, so they had that kind of conversation and they got aligned. And they were like, the first thing we've got to go and do is have a conversation with IT to say, how do we collaborate on, you know, you bring the technology, but you also have the power to choose what tools we have. How do we kind of help you to understand what tools we would like and then start thinking about the capability and culture plan? So it was an absolute joy. The tears in my eyes, Lucy, tears in my eyes.
Because it shouldn't just live in one corner. It should be a common thread throughout the whole business. And of course, we know that HR, people and culture are responsible for the people and for skills. So 100% those people need to come together and have a lovely conversation. So that's really great to hear, because it saddens me when it's kind of held a little bit over here by IT. So if we can encourage that and encourage conversations so that people can make the best use. I like to say train and trust.
Yeah.
People aren't stupid and people aren't going to upload all the financial information, but there are elements that they might not quite understand without the training. So train and trust.
Train and trust. Yeah. That's going on my LinkedIn profile. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're getting a bit deep and heavy. We need to lighten the mood a little bit, I think, with...
Dear Lucy, help me fix my techie heart. My life is off, I need a brand new start.
Dear Lucy.
I love this idea because often I do find myself in a position of giving advice and for my friends and my peers. So I feel, you know, well placed to be the agony aunt here.
Absolutely. While your own life is in tatters, you're happy to avoid the issue by giving dispensing advice to people. I'm a psychologist. I understand.
Not
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to choose from all the letters in the drawer that I've got. Hang on. I'm just going to pick a random one. Here we go. So first one from the pile. Here we go. Subject: Confessions of a Clueless Exec. Dear Lucy, I'm writing as a quietly confused in the C-suite, although Captain Clueless fits better. I nod earnestly at terms like prompt engineering and algorithmic efficiencies, secretly fearing that machine learning involves teaching photocopies to do the Macarena. So I think this is from somebody who's in a leadership team by the sounds of it. With retirement just 5 years away, should I dive into this AI madness, which quite frankly is exhausting, or should I keep perfecting my nod and smile routine? What's your advice? Fake it till I'm free, or start learning the difference between AI and just saying I appreciate any guidance before I approve the budget for a teleportation device? Best quietly confused in the C-suite. They didn't even want to put their name on it. They're so embarrassed.
I mean, the first thing that springs to my mind when I hear that is... Nod. What did you say? Nod and do something quietly.
Nod and smile.
Nod and smile.
That's wave it through.
Really the type of person that you want on an executive team, is it? So sorry.
Need or leave.
Yeah. Look, it's okay to be clueless about AI and generative AI because it's new, it's scary, and there is quite a broad range of elements to it. So why should we feel ashamed? And it comes down to the leadership team that he's on in terms of how psychologically safe is it to put your hand up and say, I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I've been on some leadership teams where that's actually really difficult.
Yeah.
The psychological safety, we know, is one of the hallmarks of a good AI adoption organization. So if you ain't feeling safe to say, hang on a minute, what's all this about?
Yeah.
Then, you know, what's your recommendation?
But I do think it would be short-sighted not to get involved, if that's the ultimate question here. And, you know, 5 years until retirement, we know through our immersion programs, when people go away and build bots and come back in our action learning sets to debrief what they've done, often the examples are not all related to the work environment. You know, we've had people that have come up with building a bot that provides a weekly meal planner based on what's in their cupboard, in their fridge, building a new story time book for the children, making it an interactive process. You know, this and the relevance of that for other people listening is, as we always say, Andrew, in our session in sessions, keep the inspiration but discard the detail. So
have a go.
If you could take a picture of something and then ask it to produce something, what else could you take a picture of and ask it to produce something? But my point for Mr. Dear Gentleman is give it a go, because you may well find, well, you will find that it becomes really useful in everyday life.
I thought you were very, very, very kind of gentle and considered in your approach. Permission to add a slightly harder edge.
Yeah, go for it.
If you're a leader and you haven't got a clue what this is all about, get a clue, because your people are depending on
it.
Lead or leave, and you're losing competitive advantage, so you need to figure it out. And that means just get your phone out, put Copilot on it, put ChatGPT on it, and as Lucy said, start having a go. You can't, there's no excuse. And 5 years is a long time, right?
It's about creating an AI first mindset and ask the question, I wonder if could it do this. And if you don't know, ask.
Absolutely.
You know.
And if you've got that question in mind, you can do cool stuff. Like one of my hit records was taking pictures of my kids' bedrooms on ChatGPT, creating a tidiness scoring matrix, and then giving each of them a little written report linked to compensation about whether they were going to get pocket money that week. And it was very, very popular. And in having a laugh with it.
Family and your poor. Everything is basically AI'd in your house now, isn't it?
The kids absolutely loved every minute of it. Okay, have we done Clueless Exec? Clueless Exec, I hope you're feeling like you've got a bit of a navigation support there. The key message is have a go, right?
Have a go and be brave. Say you don't understand and you want some help.
Absolutely. So we want to make this podcast interactive. So we do want your letters, like real letters. You make them funny by all means. We're going to have guests on the podcast as well. We're still trying to figure out the sort of guests we want, but we don't want just like thought leaders to blow our minds, do we?
No. You know, we'll get the CEO of OpenAI. Yes, interesting, but I really want grassroots. I want practical stories, solutions, scenarios, so that we're creating, you know, best practice ideas. As I said earlier, people can then go away with that one or two light bulb moment. It's relevant stuff with a little bit of chatter, banter, and silliness from us.
Absolutely. So we're talking like chief information officers who are doing it, you know, who are collaborating well with HR in order to drive the culture, or consultants who are sort of like, you know, hearing the sort of current key questions that people teams and leadership teams are asking about this stuff. So we'll try and get guests in who are, you know, as amazing as we are. I mean, they're never going to be as amazing as we are, but, you know, we'll do our best. But we want to keep it practical and keep it relevant for you, rather than that sort of 5 years ahead sort of, you know, robots coming to kill us sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And people in HR and people in culture and L&D who are working their way through a step-by-step plan for AI adoption. I think people want ideas. So many people are lost in terms of, you know, where do I even start? So I want it to be practical and relevant. And again, I'm just going to come back to what you said, sorry, about people, our clients, our guests, not being as great as us. I disagree, because we only work with fabulous people.
Oh, man, that is said like a true client director. I love that. So, you know, if you want to be on our podcast, you know, get in touch and let us know. You know, if you're not credible enough, we'll just bin you off in a second, because we want to keep the quality up there, you know.
Very high.
Absolutely. So last chunk, right? I thought it'd be fun to put some quick fire questions in at the end. So we'll add a bit of spice, put each other on the spot a little bit, create a sense of awkwardness. Dear Lucy, have you ever passed a piece of AI work off as your own?
Yeah, in the early stages, when I was a one prompt hitter.
Same here. You know, because like before people twigged what all this AI stuff was, you were like, if I say I've used AI, that'd be a massive derailer from the thing I'm trying to do. So, but we don't now, do we?
No. You know, you can't have a scenario where somebody says to you, oh, I really liked what you've put in the third paragraph on page 2. Can you talk me through that? And you're like, nope.
Okay, so next question. Would you rather have a wooden nose or a shaved head for the rest of your life?
Weird. Is that what happens in your brain? Yeah. Well, I'll go for a wooden nose if it could be smaller.
Shaved head, you could just wear a wig on, but a wooden nose, you've got to actually like have it on your face for the rest of your life.
Oh, right. Okay, I didn't think like that, but there you go.
Okay, fine. Wooden nose, you're locked in now. Number one, what's your favourite AI tool that you have used a lot this year? Like, what's your closest to your heart AI tool?
Well, look, it is still ChatGPT. I am sorry for people out there who think that that's a swear word, because it does the most things. I can build bots. It knows my tone of voice. And I know Copilot's getting there. But
getting better all the time.
I couldn't be without ChatGPT. In fact, I was using it on the go this morning to build me a recipe and then a shopping list as I was in Sainsbury's.
Yeah, ChatGPT is like a sort of willing, willing intern. It's sort of super bright, but a bit daft about world matters. Whereas Copilot's more like a sort of sensible sixth former who will like say, no, you can't do that if you ask it something. But Copilot's getting better. And then in the next episode, actually, we're going to be talking about the Copilot agents, because I went into Copilot yesterday and noticed that there's an agents kind of marketplace where people have been building them. Agents do stuff for you. So whereas Copilot and ChatGPT and Claude and all that, like they sort of create content and stuff, agents actually do actions. And so we'll be investigating that and talking about what's the real reality take of that? You know, how useful is it? How much time did we waste? All that sort of stuff. We'll waste the time so you don't have to.
Yeah, I have to say the agents part scares me slightly. I'd be interested to explore more. Okay, questions for you. Swimming trunks or budgie smugglers?
Trunks. I mean, when you go to France, you have to wear the budgie smugglers and you're like, really? But, you know, everyone's into that. But I would say trunks, definitely. My Patagonia baggies are my shorts du jour, because you can wear them out, you can wear them in the pool, and everybody says, hey, great shorts.
Are you a sun or a snow kind of guy?
Warm. I don't understand why.
No, I think.
Why would anyone pay to go somewhere cold? That is just insanity. If you can pay to go somewhere, pay to be somewhere warm, so that you can get up in the morning, put on your flip flops and your shorts, possibly a baseball cap to stop the skin cancer, and you are done. That's it. Non-negotiable.
Fair enough. Final question: what would you do if the voice function on generative AI was not available?
I throw myself under a train. I'm used to it. I'm like, you know, I need a coaching conversation.
Oh, you do have hands.
Oh, sorry. I've spent my whole of this podcast, for if you're listening on audio, just sitting completely still, like motionless. I've just moved and freaked Lucy out. So I would say the voice function is really useful for like coaching, or, you know, if you want to write an article, just get it to interview you and then ghostwrite the article. It's just really, really useful. So I'd probably cry quite a lot. I'd be bereft. Please don't take it away.
I would like us to talk a bit more about the voice function and using that to collaborate with the generative AI tool on the next podcast, because when I realized that,
yeah,
it was a massive game changer for the way in which you prompt, if you want to use that word.
All right, so a bit of geekery, a bit of use cases, a bit of like, you know, showcasing, you know, ChatGPT in a Cockney voice, all that sort of thing, bit of a laugh. We'll put that in the next episode, as well as the Microsoft agent thing, because those two things are hot right now. And we have a duty, dear listener, to share that stuff with you.
And anything else that comes up, of course.
Yeah, we survived the first podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that there is some people still alive listening, and that they come back.
So any compliments, it's Andrew at uptakeai.co.uk. Any complaints, it's Lucy at uptakeai.co.uk. Be in touch. Let us know what you need. Help us to shape this, because we ultimately want to honour you, honour your listening ears by giving you what you need. So just let us know what you need.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day.
Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye. Welcome to the AI. AI. Ready to podcast for Lucy.